Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1083, AOC and the Immigrant PSYOP. More about socialists for Trump and Hitler, subtitled The Assistance, unquote. This is being recorded on August 13th of the year 2019. In this program, we are going to continue our analysis of, at one level, the phenomenon, the political phenomenon of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And beyond that, and I would note the phenomenon, not so much her as an individual, but the political phenomenon that she is and what has gone to create that phenomenon. Beyond that, looming very large in the discussion that is to follow is the role of tech in For the Record programs numbers 1075 through 1081. We took a look at the book Surveillance Valley by Yasha Levine and the fact that the internet itself, something we now not so much take for granted, it is an absolutely ubiquitous part of our society. It is bringing down retail outlets, quote, concrete and mortar stores or mortar and concrete stores. It is transforming the way we consume information, the way we vote to an extent, and the way we do business. Now people order things from Amazon. Beyond that, the so-called Internet of Things, where people are going to have digitally attached coffee makers and thermostats and refrigerators, what have you, is going to transform our society even further. The Internet was not conceived as some wonderful device to make the world convenient and transparent and to shower society with enlightenment. The Internet is a weapon. It is an information weapon. It was devised by an overlapping series of DARPA projects that included the development of Agent Orange. The focal point of that development was counterinsurgency, and that has morphed with the realization of the political ideals of Adolf Hitler as expressed in his industry club, in his speech to the industry club of Dusseldorf in 1931, in which he equated democracy with communism. He said that if you allow people democracy, inferior people will restructure society in their favor, and therefore it will be counter-evolutionary. And For the Record, 1076, we saw how that applied in the Cambridge Analytica scandal. Also, I would note that the Republican Party itself has been at one with a huge, decades-long covert operation called the Crusade for Freedom, which abroad saw money channeled to fascist freedom fighters organizations like the OUNB, Baltic Waffen-SS units, the Romanian Iron Guard, the Hungarian Arrow Cross, the Bulgarian National Front, and the Ustashi, all of them allied with the Third Reich, all cemented together with the Third Reich and with each other by the SS. And those organizations were financed as part of the Cold War. Perhaps even more importantly, the Crusade for Freedom saw their incorporation into the Republican Party in the United States as part of a political gambit to win Eastern and Central European, people of Eastern and Central European ethnic extraction from the Democratic Party over to the Republicans. One of the historical lessons to be learned from studying the reality of American political history is that the covert actions that have been applied abroad have been applied here as well. The most dramatic example was the assassination of JFK. There are many since. And it is against the synthesis of the Republican Party with that one level, what I call the underground, right? The Reinhard Galen spy outfit, the Borman Flight Capital Network, and the resulting Christian West synthesis that I spoke about in For the Record programs 1058, 59, and 1060. That fused together, and the uniting of the Christian West GOP with covert action in the political arena here in the U.S. is fundamental. And in analyzing not only the political phenomenon of AOC, who I think basically is something of an ideological Trojan horse. She has capitalized on tech and identity politics to vault into the center ring, so to speak, of our political circus. This despite the fact that she has been in office about 6 months. She is where she is in considerable measure because of tech, her skilled use of social media, her use of Facebook, and as we will see, mobilizing those resources, she was able to draw on things well outside of her congressional district in Queens in order to basically get herself elected. And when one examines not only AOC, but many of the other, what I have termed socialists for Trump and Hitler, one finds that they have exactly, their backers run to the opposite side of the political landscape, so to speak, vis-a-vis AOC. We're going to finish with an article from the Medium that we accessed at some length in our last show. A summation of her as a political animal could be the following. This from the Medium blog of August 6th of 2018, last year. Not here for progress. Meet the Tea Party-esque insurgency seeking to, quote, rebuild the Democratic Party from scratch by Portless Glam, whoever that may be. An analysis of FEC filings shows that AOC and Chakrabarty's network of PACs, LLCs, board, and staff navigate in the same legal and ethical gray area their entire anti-dark money, unquote, platform is based on combating. Well, that is absolutely true. And beyond that, we're going to take a look at indications that the forces behind Sekhat Chakrabarty, or perhaps embodied in Sekhat Chakrabarty, who has now resigned from his position as AOC's chief of staff. He was also her campaign manager and basically the financial angel who helped to finance her political ascent. When we take a look at Sekhat Chakrabarty, we find many evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of Peter Thiel and in the direction of Palantir, the alpha predator, so to speak, surveillance firm in the high-tech world. Peter Thiel, a big Trump backer, one of the driving forces behind Facebook, and a man whose views are so far to the right that he has explicitly said that he doesn't believe in democracy because it is inimical to wealth creation. He does not feel that women should be allowed to vote, or at least he felt that one of the major steps down for democracy was when women were allowed to vote. And beyond that, one of his top references is a guy named Carl Schmitt, one of his leading political influences is a guy named Carl Schmitt, who was arguably the Third Reich's top legal theoretician. Peter Thiel is a big Trump guy, and when, as we are going to see, it looks like Palantir and Peter Thiel, which are at the very foundation of ICE activities against illegal immigrants, actually appear to have some very strong connections to the political world of Sekhat Chakrabarty. And indeed, I think there is a reasonable question as to whether Sekhat Chakrabarty might actually be a Peter Thiel protege. Put a question mark by that, but it is an important question and may very well be true. Beyond that, AOC has, to a considerable extent, with the aid of our media and social media, branded the Democratic Party, at least in the eyes of the right and to a certain extent in the eyes of middle America, as the party of illegal immigrants. And if, in fact, the Democrats are able to do an end run around that, it won't be thanks to AOC. I think from a propaganda standpoint, AOC might be thought of as a time bomb. And she very possibly, without her awareness, because she is profoundly immature, she still has breast milk on her breath. And beyond that, she exhibits the egocentricity and narcissism and attenuated political consciousness, which has become, I'm afraid, something of a way of life with the media landscape that we have. People think those little glowing screens they hold in their hands are the most wonderful things in the world. I call them dumb phones because they really are dumb phones. They dumb people down. Those phones that you have, your iPhone or whatever, those are a combination of surveillance devices and mind control devices. They lead to a self-absorbed cognitive and perceptual behavioral situation in which people are completely self-absorbed. They are wrapped up in their own image, wrapped up in their own cognitive excretion. And it, frankly, both aggravates me and scares the fresh fertilizer out of me to see the predominance of those dumb phones in our society. And that in combination with the internet and social media have a lot to do, I think, with not only dumbing this country down, but impeding it or impelling it in a fascist direction. By the way, AOC had described the number of Twitter followers she had as 22 million. I've seen it variously at 4, almost 5 million and 3.7. I think that depends. It may be overall Twitter and Facebook that I got the 22 million, but I don't know. The point being that this individual is able to influence millions of people through this attenuated communication device called Twitter, a binary communication system in which one has 140 or 280 characters to communicate with, and you can't do much with that. Also, fundamental to the discussion to follow is identity politics. The Democrats are completely consumed, as is the so-called progressive sector. They are consumed with identity politics. Morality, ethics really don't count for much. It is what color is one's skin, what ethnic derivation does one have, what sexual orientation does one have, what gender is one. And those things really have nothing to do with much of anything in and of themselves. Before we launch into the substantive part of the discussion, AOC is a Latina, and therefore many people have concluded that, well, she must be good because Latinas are good. We're going to talk about Eva Duarte, as she was called, or Eva Peron, someone who was quoted verbatim by AOC. She was a Latina, and yet she was a key Borman operative. Perhaps by way of really setting of a substantive example, as Lord Acton noted, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. A Latina who I think will illustrate that was Queen Isabella of Spain. She was, of course, the Spanish queen. She was an absolute monarch. And one of the first things she did was to launch the Spanish Inquisition. If one follows the identity politics that is extant, well, the Spanish Inquisition, it may have actually begun a little before her reign. I think she began it, but she was the dominant force in precipitating the Spanish Inquisition, in which thousands upon thousands of people were done to death in the most god-awful manner. She then financed Columbus's voyages to the New World, thereby initiating the genocide against the natives of the Americas, although Columbus wrote glowingly of what the natives he found. He very quickly committed them to producing a quota of gold, and natives who didn't come up with the right amount of gold had their hands cut off. The point being that whether or not one is a Latina has nothing to do with anything. Queen Isabella was a Latina. Adolf Hitler was gay. Therefore, what he did must have been terrific. J. Edgar Hoover was gay. His live-in lover was Clyde Tolson, the number two man at the FBI, who helped to arrange the assassination of Martin Luther King, as we looked at in a supplement to For the Record Program 46 from William Pepper's book, The Plot to Kill King. Peter Thiel is gay. Joe McCarthy was gay. Roy Cohn was gay. So what? People are all a wag about Mayor Pete. Well, Mayor Pete is gay. He also is ONI. He's a Naval Reserve Intelligence Officer. Translation, ONI, of the Office of Naval Intelligence, one of the most powerful of our intelligence services. We don't talk that much about it. ONI is very powerful. And but whether or not Mayor Pete is gay, and he is, of course, he is a spook. The point being that one's skin color or one's ethnicity or one's sexual preference or one's gender has nothing to do with anything in and of itself. Kamala Harris is black. However, as Attorney General, she helped to cover up the assassination of Robert Kennedy by denying any reasonable hearing for Saran Saran, who was framed. We're going to come back to the RFK assassination later on in the program. So, the history of the Republican Party and covert operation, that is one thing. The all-determining role of tech, and basically AOC is a product of the tech environment. That is another thing. And the moral and philosophical bankruptcy of identity politics in and of itself is another thing to keep in mind. That is something AOC has capitalized on. Now, there is an article in the Medium blog of August 6th of 2018, Not Here for Progress, Meet the Tea Party-esque Insurgency Seeking to Rebuild the Democratic Party from Scratch. And again, in many of our shows, we've spoken about Sekhat Chakrabarty. We're going to come back to him. I'm the parent acolyte of Subhas Chandra Bose, a prominent Indian fascist, resurrected, by the way, were endorsed, amplified by Narendra Modi. Bose was turned the Duce of Bengal after his idol Mussolini. Bose traveled to Italy in 1935 to give Mussolini a copy of his book. He also networked with and got FaceTime with Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, and the Emperor of Japan and Prime Minister General Hideki Tojo. His grand nephew, Suraya Kumar Bose, heads up the German Deutsche Indische Gesellschaft, the largest bilateral organization in Germany, the German Indian Society, founded on September 11th, 1942, in Nazi Germany by Subhas Chandra Bose himself. That is an ongoing and very important part of the Bormann Flight Capital Network. It channels Germans to the booming Indian IT business, and Narendra Modi has drawn very effectively on that. Sikat Chakrabarty is an apparent devotee of Subhas Chandra Bose, and as we will see, he basically has set up a series of very shady organizations. Whether or not they are criminal remains to be determined, but certainly, as I noted, vis-a-vis Juanita of Arc, as I had termed AOC, an analysis of Federal Election Commission filings shows that AOC and Chakrabarty's network of PACs, LLCs, board and staff navigate in the same legal and ethical gray area their entire anti-dark money platform is based on combating. Now, more about from the Medium article, and it is reproduced at greater length in this show and in its entirety in, for the record, 1,082 of the defeat by AOC of incumbent 10-time Congressman Joe Crowley. Not only was there a low turnout, but there was a lot of participation by out-of-town elements using websites, using social media. AOC capitalized on an extremely low primary turnout to eke out a 57% versus 43% or 16,000 versus 12,000 vote victory. And while it is true that the young candidate deployed an impressive grassroots canvassing strategy, the devil is in the details, including dirty local politics, vitriolic campaign rhetoric, far-left agitators, and an intensive Facebook advertising blitz in the lead-up to the primary. We have spoken about Facebook at great length in the past in many shows. We're going to come back to it in this one. Part of what she did, she networked with a disgraced, convicted abuser named Hiram Monserrate. Part of the local controversy revolved around the involvement of disgraced ex-Queens politician Hiram Monserrate, a domestic abuser who spent time in prison on a corruption conviction. Monserrate has feuded with Crowley for years. During their contentious primary, Crowley accused Ocasio-Cortez of seeking support from the ex-con. Even speaking at an event held at a Democratic club Monserrate runs in Queens. Monserrate told the New York Post, quote, "There were a group of us in the club and other community activists I have been working with for years who understood that we would do our part to get rid of Joe Crowley. We were in support of Alexandria's campaign." Of course, she defended her presence there as being, well, she just networking with fellow Latins. And note the role of out-of-town activists using tech, again, using the Internet in the ascent of AOC. In fact, the vast majority of Ocasio-Cortez campaign donations have come from out-of-district and out-of-state. Of particular note is Blue America PAC, a, quote, collaboration between the authors, publishers of DownWithTyranny.com, Hullabaloo.com, and CooksAndLiars.com. The PAC made an $11,000 independent expenditure in opposition to Joe Crowley, creating the website QueensAgainstCrowley.com. The meme-heavy social media pages for the PAC's various websites pushed out vitriolic blog and social media posts during the primary, using budget graphics with British English copy to promote hashtags like hashtag abolish ICE, hashtag burn me would have won, and hashtag mob boss Crowley. Again, note British English. They don't speak that in Queens, okay? Also, talking about Joe Crowley as embodying tyranny, that is the sort of lunacy that the left in this country, to a large extent, embraces. Now, something that will be a pivot point to the discussion of the illegal immigrant PSYOP, and I think that the Republican Party and Team Trump, in fact, with assistance from people like AOC, perhaps being manipulated, but I think with conscious effort by people looming in the milieu of Sekat Chakraborty, I think that there is, in fact, the illegal immigrant PSYOP in effect, and the idea is to portray the Democrats as illegal immigrants are us.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
Turning once again to the Medium article, for anyone engaging with Ocasio-Cortez's social media posts, the foreign bot and troll activity is noticeably synchronized and pervasive. There is no better example than the hashtag Abolish ICE campaign she championed as her number one primary issue and has helped to take national. One more time. There is no better example. Actually, let me read all these sentences. For anyone engaging with Ocasio-Cortez's social media posts, the foreign bot and troll activity is noticeably synchronized and pervasive. There's no better example than the hashtag Abolish ICE campaign she championed as her number one primary issue and has helped to take national. Much of her social media content has focused on the hashtag Abolish ICE solution, unquote, to immigration reform, while accusing, quote, Boss Crowley, unquote, and other Democrats of being, quote, pro-ICE, unquote. In the 1 month leading up to the June primary, Ocasio-Cortez's campaign spent over $80,000 on Facebook advertising. Note that, over $80,000 on Facebook advertising, the largest of her expenditures. And in many, many programs, for the record, 718, for the record 946, for the record 1021, for the record 1074. We have taken a look at Facebook, or Faskus book, or Fake Book, as I have called it. It is a fascist enabling organization. Peter Thiel at one point was the largest stockholder. Now he's number seven. He's on the board, but take a note of that. We're going to come back to that a little later. Now, AOC has, we're going to talk about Sekat Chakraborty in a minute, but while we're on the subject of the moral and philosophical bankruptcy of identity politics, Donald Trump compared AOC to Evita, to Eva Perón. A Washington Post article said that he may well have been meant that as a compliment, which I thought was quite funny, at least for the Washington Post. They may know more than they admitted. Eva Perón was not only the wife of Juan Perón, the dictator, the fascist dictator of Argentina, but she was the wife of someone who was one of the key people in effecting the Borman Flight Capital Organization. And indeed, she herself, Eva Perón, née Eva Duarte, was not only a Nazi spy in the pre-World War II and World War II period, but was a pivotal Borman agent. First, AOC, from the foreword of July 10th of 2019 by Mary Oster, OSTER, AOC's chief of staff wears T-shirt featuring Nazi collaborator. The T-shirt controversy comes days after Ocasio-Cortez quoted Evita Perón, the first lady of Argentina who was a Nazi sympathizer, in a tweet in response to news that Donald Trump had compared the two women. Quote, I know that like every woman of the people, I have more strength than I appear to have, Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, quoting Perón. She wrote in a second tweet, quoting her, I had watched for many years and seen how a few rich families held much of Argentina's wealth and power in their hands, so the government brought in an 8-hour working day, sickness pay, and fair wages to give poor workers a fair go. Well, Eva Duarte, or Evita Perón, also helped out some other struggling working people, such as Martin Bormann and the remarkable Bormann Flight Capital Network. And again, as I mentioned briefly, there is a hard Bormann Flight Capital, but really the Bormann Organization Network, through the milieu of Sekhat Chakrabarty and Subhas Chandra Bose. Soraya Kumar Bose heads up the Deutsche Indische Gesellschaft and the German-Indian Business Roundtable. The former, founded on 9/11/42 in Hamburg, Germany, by Subhas Chandra Bose himself, and they are instrumental to channeling Germans into the booming Indian high-tech sector, or IP sector. I suspect that may very well have something to do with Sikat Chakrabarty's worship of Subhas Chandra Bose. A more ignorant person might have been led by the Bose cult, but Sekhat Chakrabarty graduated from Harvard, and he should know better. Also note that Peter Thiel comes from Germany and from the IG Farben milieu, as we spoke about in For the Record 718. Of Eva Duarte, later Evita Perón, from Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler by Simon Dunstan and Gerard Williams. Martin Bormann, as always, was entirely clear-sighted, and during that year he put his plan to prepare and fund that refuge, Acción Feuerland. The Nazi sympathizers in Argentina enjoyed a virtually free reign, continuing to operate schools with Nazi symbols and ideology, and meeting regularly, although by 1943 not as publicly as before. But the key conspirators were few, a group limited to people Bormann had reason to trust. These included a clique of powerful, venal bankers and industrialists, such as Ludwig Freuder, a charismatic, ambitious army officer, Juan Domingo Perón, and a beautiful, intelligent actress, Eva Duarte, later Eva Perón. Ludwig Freuder and Eva Duarte's involvement in the Bormann smuggling operation was made clear in an Argentine police document of April 18, 1945. This detailed the operations of Freuder, agent of the Third Reich, unquote, and his dealings with an Argentine agent, Natalio. That informant reported that Freuder had made very substantial deposits in various Buenos Aires banks in the name of the, quote, well-known radio theatrical actress Maria Eva Duarte, unquote. Freuder told Natalia that on February 7, 1945, a U-boat had brought huge funds to help in the reconstruction of the Nazi Empire. Subsequent police investigations revealed that cases from the U-boat with the words Geheime Reichssache or Reich Top Secret stenciled on them had been taken to a Lahusen ranch run by two Nazi brothers just outside Buenos Aires. And skipping down. Deposits of gold and various currencies were later made in Eva's name at the Banco Alemán Transatlántico, Banco Germánico, and Banco Tornquist. And then later she networked directly with Pope Pius XII and Bishop Hugo, who helped set up the Vatican rat lines, to facilitate the Bormann Flight Capital Program. Again from Grey Wolf. The all-conquering Evita left Spain for Rome on June 25, 1947. Father Benitez would smooth her way in the Vatican with the aid of Bishop Alois Hugo, one of the key members of the Nazi Vatican rat line. 2 days after she arrived, she was given an audience with Pope Pius XII, spending 20 minutes with the Holy Father, a time usually allotted by Vatican protocol to queens. However, there was a more sinister side to the Rome trip. Using Bishop Hugo as an intermediary, She arranged to meet Martin Bormann himself in an Italian villa at the Apollo, provided for her use by Argentine shipping billionaire Alberto Dobero. Another one of those struggling Argentinians. Excuse me. The ship owner was also present at the meeting, as was Ava's brother Juan Duarte. There, she and her former paymaster cut the deal that guaranteed that his fearless safe haven would continue to remain safe and allowed Bormann to leave Europe, at least at last, for a new life in South America. And again, that is the person being quoted by AOC, or whom AOC quoted, I should say. Quoted by AOC. I doubt seriously that she knew about this. She was simply probably reacting in the two-dimensional context of identity politics. Well, Evita Perón was a Latina, therefore she has to be good. And I would note that is much the way that AOC herself has been perceived, despite the fact that the poor little Bronx girl graduated from Yorktown High School in Westchester County, despite the fact that her chief of staff and campaign manager is an acolyte of the Duce of Bengal, despite the fact that she has fudged her professional resume, as we looked at in our last program, despite the fact that she has benefited from highly questionable gray money, as we looked at in our last program. And by the way, 58% of her constituents in Queens were in favor of the Amazon deal, and she opposed it. I think a better AOC quote would have been something like, "I know that like every one of the people, I graduated from Yorktown High School in Westchester County. I know that like every woman of the people, my chief of staff is a devotee or an acolyte of the Duce of Bengal. I know that like every woman of the people, I've fudged my professional resume. I know that like every woman of the people, I have benefited from a series of very shady gray money deals. And last but most assuredly not least, I know that like every woman of the people, I have betrayed my constituents." She calls herself a democratic socialist. Well, okay. If 58% of your constituents are in favor of something and you oppose it, how is that democracy? Well, obviously it isn't. Again, Lord Acton noted that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you were to take this, quote, democratic socialist, unquote, or anyone like her and give her absolute power, and by that I don't mean Latinas, I mean people with no critical distance and a self-righteous, self-absorbed, immature, narcissistic attitude, which she certainly has. You give them absolute power, like Queen Isabella had, and watch out. Juanita of Arc, as I have termed her, will morph into Josefina Stalin, and you will be sorry. Now, Sekhar Chakrabarty. As we looked at, he was her chief of staff, he was her campaign manager, set up these shady PACs and LLCs from which she benefited, and is an apparent acolyte of Subhas Chandra Bose, the Duce of Bengal. Now, he went to his position at Stripe, more about that, in charge of product development for the online payment company Stripe here in Silicon Valley, from Bridgewater Associates. Now, he was one of the tech people who was in charge, one of the people in the tech segment of Bridgewater Associates. Now, Bridgewater Associates, it was one of the major funding sources for Palantir, as we have looked at in a number of programs. There is a link in the description for the record 1083 at which one can peruse that. But again, note that Sekhar Chakrabarty, again, who, if we're to take this at face value, he and AOC want to purge the dark money, purge the influence of big money in politics. Well, no doubt that is why he goes from Bridgewater Associates, the largest hedge fund in the world, and he's one of their tech people. They helped to capitalize Palantir. The legal counsel for Bridgewater Associates was James Comey. He goes to, from Bridgewater Associates to the FBI, and while at the FBI, he was instrumental in flogging the Hillary Clinton email nonsense, which helped to put Donald Trump in office. Now, as we have looked at, and again, there is longer discussion in or longer examination of this. We've talked about this in past programs, but there is longer, and there is longer discussion of this in the written description for the record 1083. It appears that Peter Thiel, that Sekhar Chakraborty may very well be a Peter Thiel protege. Peter Thiel put together a bunch of, venture capitalists to help run, to help to capitalize Stripe, the online payment company. And it appears, although the information about Stripe's capitalization is somewhat opaque, it appears that his position, that is to say Chakraborty's position at Stripe, where he was in charge of product development, an engineer in charge of product development, came after Stripe got a generous chunk of capital by a consortium of venture capitalists headed up by Peter Thiel. And note, again, that Peter Thiel was not only one of the top people at Facebook, is a member. He was at one point their largest stockholder. He is now number 7. He is a member of the board of directors. Peter Thiel is the top dog, and I mean that advisedly, at the alpha predator of all surveillance companies, Palantir. Again, P-A-L-A-N-T-I-R. We looked at that most recently and their role with the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and for the record, 1076. Now, again, AOC's signature issue is abolish ICE, and she shows up at the border. Apparently, what's she doing for her constituents? But she shows up at the border, and she leads the squad, 4 congressional Democrats voting against the Democratic Party that voted to provide humanitarian assistance to these suffering immigrants at various facilities in the Southwest. The notion of simply decriminalizing illegal entry into the U.S. is brainless. More about that perhaps in our next program. However, they should be treated humanely. Illegal immigrants are not responsible for this country's problems. They aren't the solution to it either. 69% of registered voters in the U.S. are non-Hispanic whites. Decriminalizing entry into this country is not only impractical in terms of expanding access to health care and college education, it also would be handing victory to the Republican Party. When Fox News held the debates earlier this year, and when in response to a question, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, among others, raised their hand in favor of decriminalizing entry into the U.S., they destroyed themselves as candidates. The team Trump, all they're going to have to do is to air, to put a little spot showing that Fox News segment with Elizabeth Warren and or Bernie Sanders holding up their hands, and that will be the end of them should they get the nomination, presidential or vice presidential nomination. But treating them, that is to say illegal immigrants, inhumanely, and they have certainly been treated that way, is inhumane, and Nancy Pelosi did the right thing. But AOC and the other 3 members of the squad voted against that. Again, they abolish ICE is the AOC battle cry, and she has received a lot of momentum from that, from out of state or even out of country bots and trolls. Palantir of Peter Thiel is basically deeply involved with the operations of ICE, and it looks very much as though Sekhar Chakraborty may very well be a Peter Thiel protege. Certainly Bridgewater Associates for which sacrifice he worked before going to strike, very possibly as a Peter Thiel protege, helped to capitalize Palantir. Their chief counsel was James Comey, who went on to head up the FBI and was instrumental in putting Trump in office with his Hillary Clinton emails nonsense.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
From Fortune Magazine of October 23rd of 2018 by Aaron Corbett, C-O-R-B-E-T-T, about Palantir's role in the ICE operations. Tech companies are profiting off ICE deportations, report shows. Skipping down. Tech and data companies are building and profiting from the Trump administration's deportation machine, providing local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies with the data analysis and tracking software necessary for a massive web of surveillance, a new report shows. Skipping down. The Who's Behind ICE, the tech and data companies fueling deportations report, prepared by Empower LLC and commissioned by the Latino and Immigration Rights Organizations, Mi Gente, the National Immigration Project, and the Immigrant Defense Project, details an expansive network and shows that key companies, including Amazon, Palantir Technologies, and Forensic Logic, are profiting from it. About Palantir, again, Peter Thiel's firm. ICE collects data which it uses to build profiles of undocumented persons with the intent to arrest, detain, and deport them. Information technology, or IT, spending accounts for nearly 10% of DHS's budget, or $6.8 billion, making it the largest IT budget in the federal government, according to data from the DHS Congressional Budget Justification, FY20, or for the fiscal year of 2019. Mi Gente has pressured Palantir to drop its $51 million contract with ICE to build a web case management system that helps the agency surveil, track, and deport immigrants across the country. The database created by Palantir uses information pulled from the DHS, FBI, and other sources to build profiles of people who have crossed the border, including, quote, schooling, family relationships, employment information, phone records, immigration history, foreign exchange program status, personal connections, biometric traits, criminal records, and home and work addresses, The Intercept reported last year. Skipping down. Policing software provided by Palantir and Forensic Logic's Coplink program enables information sharing between ICE and state and local law enforcement. Many of the cities with Palantir contracts across California are sanctuary cities, according to Gonzalez, who says there have been more and more policies introduced to prohibit this kind of data sharing by private parties. Palantir software has been implemented by DHS fusion centers across California, as well as by police departments in Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Burbank, and sheriff's departments in Sacramento, Ventura, and Los Angeles counties. The company has received more than $50 million from these agencies since 2009, mostly financed by DHS grants, the report shows. Fusion centers were created to centralize intelligence gathering, analysis, and dissemination into a single integrated system accessible to law enforcement agencies from the local level up to the federal intelligence community. They are one of the largest tools for DHS and ICE information sharing and ICE's largest data source. Fusion centers have been used to monitor and target immigrants as well as activists. And again, Palantir was capitalized in large measure by Bridgewater Associates, the largest hedge fund in the world. Sekhar Chakrabarty was working for them, then he goes to Stripe, very possibly as a Peter Thiel protege. It certainly looks that way, although, again, the information about the capitalization of Stripe, an online payment company, is somewhat opaque. And remember, again, AOC is basically, she's certainly working, serving this way in the right-wing media and social and online sphere. The mainstream media have been complicit in this as well, branding the Democratic Party as, quote, illegal immigrants are us. And I think that is a psyop. I think AOC herself is more than likely being manipulated without her conscious knowledge. Again, she's immature, very self-righteous, very narcissistic, and basically something of a hair-trigger personality. And she's all about identity politics. And she's quoting Borman agent Ava Perón, nay, Ava Duarte, and with the likes of Sekhar Chakrabarty, who basically is the driving force behind AOC. So again, his role, his apparent adulation of Subhash Chandra Bose, his role with Bridgewater Associates, his role with Stripe, and the role of Palantir with ICE, and the role of Peter Thiel with Trump and Facebook are all to be taken into consideration here. Now, again, the Republican Party is at one with covert operations. And I'm going to review something that we looked at in For the Record program number 1039. Now, in the run-up to the 2018 campaign, there was an, of course, illegal and immigrant campaign up from Central America that had huge coverage by Fox News and provided a lot of fodder for the right-wing media sphere and for Donald Trump. Now, reviewing information from For the Record 1039, and the article and the links are available in the written description for 1083. Due to the limitations of time, I'm simply going to highlight this. Now, note that the immigrant caravan was generated by a fake Facebook account which mimicked a Honduran politician, and Facebook would not disclose who took it out. Facebook has admitted the account was an imposter account impersonating a prominent Honduran politician, but it is refusing to release information about the account, who may have set it up, or what country it originated from. Facebook is complicit in this. In the response to a query from BuzzFeed News, a Facebook spokesperson said the phony account was, quote, removed for violating the company's misrepresentation policy, but declined to share any further information, such as what country it originated from, what email address was used to open it, or any other details that might reveal who was behind it. Facebook added that barring a subpoena or request from law enforcement, it does not share such information out of respect for the privacy of its users. This from the people who went into the Cambridge Analytica thing, eyes wide open, and did that. I mean, this is disgusting. But Fuentes, the Honduran politician, said he believes it's important to find out who is behind the rogue account, but hasn't gotten any answers from Facebook. Who knows how many messages could have been sent and who received them? Fuentes has been unable to get any information from Facebook about the account, but one small detail stood out. Whoever created it listed the Honduran capital of Tegucigalpa as Fuentes' hometown rather than the San Pedro Sula suburb of El Progreso. That might seem like a minor error, but it is the sort of mistake a foreigner, not a Honduran, would make about the well-known former lawmaker whose left-wing party stands in opposition to the current president's administration. it, the Facebook account, operated entirely in Spanish and precisely targeted influencers within the migrant rights community, and rather than criticize or undermine the caravan as other online campaigns would later attempt to do, it was used to legitimize the event. Okay, and again, this had much to do with generating the migrant caravan that was a key propaganda vehicle for the Trump, Team Trump and the Republican Party and the Fox News and right-wing media echo chamber. Also in the summer of 2018, an Iowa college student named Molly Tibbetts was murdered, and an illegal immigrant, named Christian Rivera has been charged with the murder. There was a Daily Mail article, prominent Iowa Republican family which owns farm where Molly Tibbetts alleged killer worked, say he passed government's migrant background check, as the 24-year-old is charged with her murder after admitting to chasing her down while jogging by Ben Ashford, Chris Pleasance, Jennifer Smith, and Hannah Perry. This is from the Daily Mail. We've covered this at some length in past programs. Note that Christian Rivera was following Molly Tibbetts in his car, and suddenly he blacked out and then woke up with her body in the trunk of his car. This is very reminiscent of Saran and the polka dot dress girl. We've talked about that in many programs, including AFA program number 9 from June of 1985. Investigators say Rivera followed Molly in his dark Chevy Malibu as she went for a run around 7:30 p.m. on July 18th. He blacked out, unquote, and attacked her after she threatened to call the police unless he left her alone, officers said. It is not yet clear how Molly died. Rivera told police that after seeing her, he pulled over and parked his car to get out and run with her. Molly grabbed her phone and threatened to call the police before running off ahead. The suspect said that made him panic, and he chased after her. That's when he blacked out. He claims he remembers nothing from then until he was back in his car driving when he noticed one of her earphones sitting on his lap and blood in the car. Again, was Christian Rivera a mind control job? Is this like Saran? There is no way of saying for sure, but note that he was being handed his, all around him, a right-wing Republican farmers and political figures in Iowa. Again, this will be, the article will be set forth at great length, or in complete length, in the written description for the program. We have spoken about this before, and again, with the fake Facebook account that led to the migrant caravan in the run-up to the 2018 election, and with the curious death of Molly Tibbetts at the hands, allegedly, of Christian Rivera, who blacked out and doesn't remember anything. Are we looking at more covert action in the domestic political arena? I believe that is the case. I believe there is an illegal immigrant psyop, basically, and AOC is a probably unwitting factor in this. I suspect Sekar Chakrabarty et al. Are less than unwitting. Don't be surprised if the funky LLCs and PACs set up by Sekar Chakrabarty explode during the course of the 2020 campaign, helping to discredit the Democratic Party after branding them as, quote, illegal immigrants are us. As something of a transition for our next program, we're going to talk about leaderless resistance and the shootings in Gilroy and in particular at El Paso. From the New Republic of January 19th of 2014, would you feel differently about Snowden, Greenwald, and Assange if you knew what they really thought? This is Glenn Greenwald on illegal immigrants. The parade of evils caused by illegal immigration is widely known, Greenwald wrote in 2005. The facts, to him, were indisputable. Illegal immigration wreaks havoc economically, socially, and culturally, and makes a mockery of the rule of law, and is disgraceful just on basic fairness grounds alone. Greenwald wrote of unmanageably endless hordes of people who pour over the border in numbers far too large to assimilate and who consequently have no need, motivation, or ability to assimilate. Those hordes, Greenwald wrote, posed a threat to middle-class suburban voters. That is Citizen Greenwald. Sounds like Donald Trump, doesn't it? This concludes For the Record program number 1083, AOC and the Illegal Immigrant PSYOP. More about socialists for Trump and Hitler, quote, the assistants, unquote. This is being recorded on August 13th of the year 2019. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.